Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll be joined once again by author Julie Davis, who will share more insights from her book, Seeking God in Everyday Life. I'll also be talking with the website Alatea's editor-at-large, Elizabeth Scalia, about getting a handle on cynicism and negativity so they don't stifle our ability to live joyfully. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and first up today is the conclusion of my interview with Julie Davis. Julie writes the blog Happy Catholic, but she's also authored a book of reflections called Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life. On our previous show, Julie and I discussed her conversion from atheism to Catholicism and the steps she's taken in recent years to develop a closer relationship with Jesus. Today we'll be talking about the importance of being honest with God and paying closer attention to the words of the Our Father. So here now is the rest of my conversation with Julie Davis. One of the things you address in the book, and it's about being honest with God. I mean, we say that we believe that God knows our every thought, yet sometimes we refuse to be honest with him as if we could hide some part of ourselves from him. Why is that honesty so important? Admitting it to ourselves and just admitting it to God and talking to him, you know, whether we're angry or frustrated and just letting it out.
I think because it's difficult because then we're having to say it out loud ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're having to admit to ourselves, I'm afraid to do this.
Mm.
I'm angry about this. And yet the times I have remembered to do that, and granted they've been few and far between, where I've suddenly gone, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be talking to Jesus about this. Okay. It's been very reassuring. Mm-hmm. There may not be a solution, you know.
Yeah.
But there is a real cleansing quality. In a sense, it's like confession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that cleansing quality in just being absolutely naked in front of him,
mm-hmm.
not hiding like Adam and Eve in the bushes, knowing that what they did, and God knows everything,
mm-hmm.
And just saying it. And like I say, he always responds somehow, even if it's just with a, oh, thank goodness,
mm-hmm.
got that off my chest. And I actually, you know, have had more clear answers sometimes, as we all get,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, I was really afraid to do something. And I was like, this is stupid. I should not be afraid of this. So I'm also judging myself.
Okay. So it turns out it's more about your own feelings about yourself than your fear of telling God.
Maybe so.
Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe just haven't thought deep enough to articulate that, yeah, I'm afraid to do this.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am.
Have you ever endured the say an anger at God as opposed to a fear of telling him something, an anger and reluctance to express that anger, or you haven't really had to go that spiritual route?
Well, just once.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter had been going through, and she's fine with me sharing this.
Okay.
She had been going through a very severe depression,
mm-hmm.
and I had been the main person she could turn to during that time. So it had been very difficult for the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was in one of these retreat meetings with some other people, and we'd been talking about, you know, you should thank God for everything at all time. And I remember I was driving home and I said, oh my gosh, that means I should thank him for her depression.
Mm.
And I was like, how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
There I was speaking plainly out loud.
Yeah.
How
mm-hmm.
dare you want me to thank you for that?
Mm-hmm.
And yet by the time I'd driven around the block and gone into the garage, I was like, well, I guess I have to. So I went to my daughter and said, here's what I think we should do. And she's like, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of just knelt there together and did silent prayer. And then she said, you know what? I just realized I wouldn't have been able to give this classmate good advice about getting back on his medication if I didn't know what he was going through.
Wow.
And I myself had had just, you know, insights about my personal growth in going through this with my daughter.
Right, right.
So, yeah, that's the only time I've ever been really mad. There may be other times, but yeah.
So it's basically that idea that God can use every horrible thing to even bring some good about.
Yeah, but we have to be receptive. We have to be open to it, or you won't even hear it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Julie Davis about her book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life, Prayers and Reflections for Getting Closer. I mean, you also write about how simply saying Jesus' name can be a prayer. How can something that simple be a prayer? Is it the intention or the state of your heart or mind when you're saying it?
That's one of those mysteries. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just sometimes that's what's going through my mind, and so I kind of try to focus on it as a prayer. And they say, and so I have to believe them, that to say his name is for him to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the Marshall McLuhan about the message is the... Wait a minute, I can't remember it.
The medium is the message?
The meaning is the message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the message is the meaning. The meaning is the message. He is a convert, though very few people knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And he is famous for, you know, talking about television and the messages and how they shape us. And he took that even further when he was thinking about Jesus. He's like, because that name is that person. It's one and the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's actually in the catechism, too. I was stunned.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say that, I try to remember that means he's right here with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you started following all these steps, how did you know you were making progress in building this deeper friendship with Jesus?
Because when something would come up or I would sit down for prayer, he was the first one I was turning to instead of asking for the Holy Spirit to come or thinking of God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And also there is more of a sense of, you know, I don't want to say, you know, Jesus is at my elbow all day long, but there's more of a sense of his presence more of the time in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you can't think about it all the time, but when you stop and pay attention, you just feel, I don't know, it's how do you know you're friends with somebody who used to be an acquaintance and maybe you didn't know them that well and suddenly you're meeting every few weeks and having coffee and you really know each other so well that you're good friends. It's that same very gradual knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Has reading scripture kind of contributed to that?
Oh my gosh, yes. Talk about the living word of God that pierces like a sword. And of course, that's a terrible image, but it strikes to the heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just say it. It hits your heart. And that's one of the things that I was so pleased at when I converted and began reading the Bible and would see these phrases and just go, oh my gosh, I've read this 3 times, but it didn't mean anything because I didn't need it till now.
Right, right. Well, I mean, yeah, we hear the readings at Mass every week, but it seems like the way you're talking about reading Scripture is much more of a conscious and intentional approach because, I mean, even with the Our Father, which you address in the book, you take line by line. It's something we can say out of rote because we've been saying it for so many years, but in that case, we even miss the meaning of the words. So how has the Our Father, this new vision of that prayer, that classic prayer, how has it changed your prayer life and relationship with Jesus?
For one thing, it took me a while to figure out that Jesus is God, and God gave us this prayer to say, and I went, oh, wait, it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I should pay attention to it. And then saying it line by line and thinking about it, I was really surprised that Jesus was in there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's the Trinity, and Jesus is God, and I get this, but you think of it as being directed to God the Father.
Yeah.
You don't think of it as being a reflection of Jesus, but if Jesus says, when we see him, we see the Father, then everything we see in there is true about Jesus also.
Yeah.
So it really made me think about the prayer differently.
Yeah.
Well, in that way.
Even the line, you address this in the book, the line, lead us not into temptation, you would be like, you know, wondering, why would God lead us into temptation? He's a good God. He should be leading us away from temptation. So just talk a little bit about, you know, what's your reflection on that line has caused you to learn?
Well, part of it is that we don't understand the Greek very well. And so when I started, actually, it was when I was looking at this prayer like this, I was like, I've never understood that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lead us into temptation. Why would you do that? And then when I was reading Jesus of Nazareth, the first one, it's, you know, just so brilliant. And Pope Benedict,
mm-hmm.
says, you know, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Yeah.
It's like even he was led into temptation,
mm-hmm.
but it was part of his task to withstand these temptations.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes God will lead us into temptation we might not really want in order to strengthen us.
Okay.
Or to help us in a way we can't see. But the other thing that I liked was what C.S. Lewis said that I found, which was sometimes it just means, please don't let me get those great invitations to do something that would be terrible for me.
Ah, okay.
You know.
So it's about just
guard me from myself.
Yeah, avoiding certain temptations that, you know, may not be bad for other people, but you might take you down a road you don't want to go.
Yeah, and we don't know enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So help me to not be that person who's just going to ignore everything and do it.
Sure, sure. I'm talking to Julie Davis about her book, Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life. We're talking about the Our Father. How good are you at the line, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? Does the forgiving others come naturally, or has that required work too?
Oh, no. That never comes naturally to me. That's probably, like for most people, one where you just go, darn it. No.
Yeah.
Because even just this morning, I was struggling again, going, no, forgive 7 times 70.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's my own pride that's making me do it. It's because I think what I want is so important.
Yeah.
You know, that I can't forgive this person because I'm not, you know, like most people, I'm not usually having to forgive people something huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a somebody whose child was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's the idea that, oh, I've been forgiven so much. And in that way, it's a good reflective moment for me going, oh, how many times have I done this to somebody?
Yeah. 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 And I think also in the sense that, you know, I think you alluded earlier that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And when we harbor that resentment, we become spiritually blocked and kind of weighed down. So then we can't become the people God wants us to be.
Yeah, because that's all you can think about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And is that healthy at all?
Absolutely,
you know?
Not. I'm talking to Julie Davis. Her book is Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life. Now, for people who pick up this book, you know, we do tend to be impatient people, especially in the modern world, and we want change to happen overnight. So, you know, just tell us, you know, if somebody picks this book up and they don't have a friendship with Jesus within 1 or 2 days, you know, what role should patience play in building this friendship with Jesus?
Oh, my gosh. It's, for one thing, it's a lifetime journey.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the rest of your life, and none of us want to hear that. Like you say, we all would like it right now. And that's the idea of there is no lock, because we want one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of that impatience, too. But yeah, it's, for me, I mean, I've had my little notebooks that I wrote all this stuff out myself in,
mm-hmm.
and I've probably been doing this for 3 years.
Wow.
So, and at the end of the book, I kind of put some of the stuff to connect you back to the beginning of the book so you can hopefully just keep using it.
Yeah.
Because we all need reminders of all these lessons all the time. And I guess you think of, what is it that you are willing to spend time on? Do you want to be more fit so you're going to the gym all the time? Do you want to be a better cook so you're practicing different dishes? Do you have, everybody's got something usually.
Mm-hmm.
This is like that. You don't quit because you can't get there. You go, oh, well, I'll just try training a different way for this thing.
Right.
I'll do cross training, or I'll cook a different discipline, or whatever the thing is. And this is no different.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just your spiritual training.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me, I'm not sure if it was Flannery O'Connor or not, but someone once observed that epiphanies aren't permanent. We have these moments of awakening in life, but over time we can go back to forgetting or ignoring what we've learned. Is that what you're getting at? That you've had to rediscover epiphanies in your own life?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, think of our daily routines. We do the same thing over and over and over every day. We
mm-hmm.
get up, we have our coffee, we do our things. This is just part of that routine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's one of those things where hopefully it's not going to be, well, you know, all of us, well, I don't say all of us. Me, I have things I'd rather do instead of praying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, God, that's my 10 minutes. But I don't know where you thought you were going to get any time out of this day.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is when I force myself to just make it part of the routine, that's where the slow, steady growth comes. So it's like growing plants or something. You can't make them come up any faster than they're going to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as we close, let me just tie in the Christopher idea of lighting a candle rather than cursing the darkness. How do you think that idea of lighting the candle instead of cursing the darkness kind of fits into this process of building a friendship with Jesus?
Oh, it's such a beautiful idea too. It's that whole thing of how do you forgive someone?
Mm-hmm.
That's the lighting the candle, the soft, gentle glow that you can't see all the things around you.
Mm-hmm.
But as you move forward with your candle, you're illuminating all these other wonderful things and you're helping others with it.
Yeah.
And we can't see everything and we can't know everything. The darkness is always out there around us. But the really wonderful thing is if you have that candle, and then you light someone else's candle, your own flame is not diminished.
Mm.
Theirs doubles it. And then the darkness is a little less.
Yeah.
And so what I hope with this book is that it helps the darkness become a little less and the light becomes stronger because Christ is that light that we're holding in our candle.
Wow, that is a beautiful way to put it.
Oh, thank you.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I've been talking to Julie Davis. She's written a book called Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life, Prayers and Reflections for Getting Closer. It's really a wonderful read, and like I mentioned earlier, Julie is like the retreat guide as you sit down and read this book and meditate and pray on it, and she'll take you through the way she built a better friendship, deeper relationship with Jesus and the ways that you can too. She's also the blogger at Happy Catholic, so you can look up her website, Google Happy Catholic and Julie Davis, and it'll take you there and you'll see all the great writing she does there, citing quotes from all over, from saints and sinners alike about pointing us towards God and heaven. So, and again, Julie's book is Seeking Jesus in Everyday Life. And Julie, thanks so much for talking about it on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back in a minute to talk with blogger and author Elizabeth Scalia. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
We all likely pray that we get through life without times of darkness, but the reality is that they're unavoidable. The solution, as we say at the Christophers, is to light one candle. And ultimately, the light of that candle has only one source, Jesus, who ignites the divine spark within us. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Jesus, the Light of the World. It will help you see the radiance of the Savior all around you and allow you to move forward in life with hope and love. To request your free copy of Jesus, the Light of the World, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my next guest is Elizabeth Scalia. You likely know Elizabeth as the blogger The Anchoress, or as the author of the books Strange Gods and Little Sins Mean a Lot. But today I asked her to come on the show to discuss a column she wrote for the website Aletheia, where she works as editor-at-large. The piece is about the ways that pessimism can stifle the joy we're supposed to live out as Christians, and the topics seem especially relevant for our day and age. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close Up, Elizabeth Scalia. Elizabeth, thanks so much for being on the show again.
It's so good to talk to you, Tony.
Now, I mentioned in my intro that you wrote this piece for Aletheia on cynicism and negativity. And even though you wrote it in 2015, I only saw it recently. But I want to touch on it because it's an evergreen topic, because cynicism and negativity are so easy to fall into at any time, but especially in our day and age. So what effect do you see these things, cynicism, negativity, pessimism, as having on people around us, especially on people of faith?
Well, I think it's making everybody miserable, and I think it's absolutely precluding our ability to feel joy, and lately I think even compassion for other people, or to even see people as humans. And it's a very nihilist point of view,
Yeah. But
it's one that I think Catholics really need to avoid, Christians really need to try to avoid, because it's, I think, very damaging to the soul.
Yeah, well, a lot of times when something bad happens, I've heard somebody comment, well, that's the real world, as if the good choices and good things that happen are somehow less real than the bad. Why is focusing on the good not, as you say in the article you wrote, Pollyanna-ish, as some people think?
All right. You know, people have called me a Pollyanna for a good portion of my life, and certainly they've done it online, too. And it's not because I'm so... it's not because I'm brilliant about finding positive things. It's just that I've had the opportunity to look back on my life. And if you have that chance, if you take the time to look back on what has happened in life, you tend to gain some perspective that, you know, as bad as things may seem, there's a reason why things happen. You know, and I've looked back on my life and I've done, you know, I've had suffered. Everybody has suffered. And there have been times when it's been very bad. And, you know, I look back and say, well, why, Lord? Why did I have to go through that? And then I realized that it helped me to become the person I am. And it gave me perhaps strengths that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And it gave me insights and maybe compassion for others that I wouldn't have had otherwise. Or, you know, I look at times in my life where, you know, I was away from the church and it was a sinful time. It was a bad time, a time I certainly regret. And yet I learned from that as well. And I saw both good and bad things in myself. And the good things I learned to work on, to build up, and the bad things I learned to, you know, push away. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's missing online, and I think it's what's missing in our society right now, is this instinct to look back in something other than anger, to look back in wonder, so to speak. To say, well, what came of that? We live very much in the moment now. We don't even think about the future, and we don't think about the past. And if we do think about anything negative in the past, we're supposed to, you know, ruminate on it and hate it and stew in it for the rest of our lives because mm-hmm. bad is bad. And yet, that's not the message of the crucifix. And this is the thing that keeps coming back to me. You know, what was worse than the torture and mishandling of Jesus Christ, the unjust murder of Jesus Christ, the betrayal and the abandonment of Jesus Christ and the lies? I mean, this was injustice, you know, five ways to Sunday.
Sure.
And yet God permitted this to happen. And you say, well, why would you do this? But it was necessary in order for, you know, something glorious and salvific to be able to occur. And so, you know, if you look back in your life, you kind of get to see that, even though it seems counterintuitive. And that's kind of what that piece was about. You know, it's like if you are so, if you're so caught up in the negative and you're so caught up in the snark and you're so caught up in bitter resentment and, you know, constantly looking for something to be angry about, and that seems to be the defining characteristic of our society right now, how can you ever find gratitude? And if you can't find gratitude, how will you ever find joy?
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Elizabeth Scalia. She's the editor-at-large for Alatea. We're discussing an article she wrote a while back called Do You Love Your Pessimism? Then You Will Never Know Joy. Now, let me just ask about your work at Alatea. Alatea is a website, Catholic website. Christophers are happy to have our blog on there now. It's alatea.org is the website address. How are you trying to help people get in touch with that joy more and find Jesus more through the work at Alatea?
Well, I mean, Alatea's whole mission, its whole philosophy and point of being is to be a kind of positive voice, not just, oh, rah, rah, isn't our religion great, mm-hmm. but more, you know, how do we take our religion, which has so much truth in it and so much consolation, and apply it to our everyday living so that if you're a mom or you're a business person or, you know, you're a retired individual or a student and all of these things that are coming and happening to your life, how do you integrate them with your Catholic living so that it becomes, you know, a marvelous and consoling whole that keeps you connected to God? And this is a very big part of our mission at Alatea. And I'm actually really excited because Alatea has recently picked up two initiatives that I think are all about helping people to find good mm-hmm. and also helping them to reach out and become evangelizers of that good. A few earlier this month, we launched something called the Lampstand Photo Contest. And what this is a contest we'll be running every month for the rest of 2017. It's a way to give back a little bit because Alatea has had some wonderful growth over the past year and a half or so. And so what we're doing is we're inviting charities and parish groups and, you know, people who reach out and work in their communities to take a picture of what they're doing and send us something that's really representative of their work and upload it into Facebook on this special page. And then people can vote on what picture they like. And at the end of every month, you know, we will give some editorial coverage to that charity that has won, and we'll also give them $515, which comes right from Matthew 5:15. You know, don't hide your good works under a bushel basket, but put them up on a lampstand so that they can be seen. So that's really exciting. We've had a very good response to it, and I love the idea that we're showcasing people helping people. You know, in very local ways. It's not, you know, the American Cancer Society. It's, you know, Bob and Sue in a soup kitchen somewhere. And I think that's really very helpful. It kind of fits with the whole idea of, you know, a subsidiarian idea to begin with, you know, living your life in a local way.
Yeah.
The other thing we just launched, and I'm so excited about it, but it's still has a few tweaks to do. I'm really excited about it, though. We've integrated artificial intelligence into Alitea, and it's part of our response to Pope Francis's wish for World Communications Day, that people find creative ways to reach out, that people who, in Catholic media, you know, think of different ways to reach out with the good news and the message of Christ. And so we came up with the idea of a bot to help people. This bot will help you to find something to send someone who might need a good word, you know, a word in season, so to speak.
Yeah.
So if you have a situation where, say, you know, you've just heard somebody, a friend of yours, has had bad news, you know, you can go in and the bot will say, what do you need? And you'll say, okay, I have this friend or acquaintance or a loved one, and I want to send them something. And the bot will say, well, okay, that's very generous of you. What are you looking for? You know, what age group are we talking about? And then you give that information and then say, okay, do you want to send a message of hope, or do you want to address suffering? Do you want aspiration, or just because, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then by clicking on these little categories, it will eventually show you a selection of pieces from our Alitea archives that can be useful to send to this person to say to them, I know what's going, you know, I hear you going through this. I'm with you. I want to accompany with you. I want to encourage you. You know, I want you to feel like you're not alone. I want to remind you that, you know, faith has a way to help you through this.
Yeah.
And it's a very gentle sort of evangelization. It's not in your face.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be really helpful to people.
Right, yeah. Well, and the website is alitea.org. Elizabeth Scalia, thanks so much for being on the show today to share these ideas about letting go of our cynicism and negativity and really finding the joy of Christ and sharing it through the, like you said, through the bot now that's on Alitea and the lampstand photo contest. Go to alitea.org for more information about that. And Elizabeth, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, it was great talking to you again.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Darkness.